It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Vubo, Slaying a Game Plus. How you doing? What morning is this? Wednesday morning? I don't even remember anymore.
It's Dodgers are champions morning.
Yes, it is. It's Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here. Good morning to you, Jason. How you doing, man?
Good morning. Basking in the glow.
Basking in the afterglow.
32
baby.
Years in the making.
And, you're a Dodgers fan.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I am. It's been a frustrating 8, 10, 15 years, however you want to call it. So, yeah, I've endured the pain long enough to consider myself a fan.
Yeah, first time since 1988, the Kirk Gibson famous series, of course, the iconic Kirk Gibson home run, the 1988 World Series with both Vin Scully and Jack Buck calling it. First time in 32 years. The Dodgers are World Series champs. They do it with a 3-1 win yesterday. Win the best of seven series against the Rays, 4-2. We'll get into it momentarily with Paul Spohr. Lots to unpack about that. Pete Futak on the show later. College football with Peter. COVID outbreaks, Wisconsin upsets last week. We'll get his picks for this coming week. Brady Cannon on the golf tournament in Bermuda this weekend. You ever been to Bermuda before?
I was at Atlantis for a couple of, I think that's in Bermuda.
No, that's the Bahamas. Casino.
Oh, Bahamas. No. So no, I haven't.
Oh, Bermuda is fabuloso. It is gorgeous. Bahamas beautiful too, but for different reasons. We'll talk to Brady about that tournament and Michael Lombardi later on the show. I got a whole bunch of football questions to throw at him. We are broadcasting live from the beautiful South Point Hotel Casino here at the tip of the strip. Stretch it out. I love it here. By the way, congratulations, Circa opening last night. We will hear also from Brian Musburger. We'll play a little Brian Musburger, the CEO of VSiN, later on the show from the Circa opening last night. Congratulations again to Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, and all of our friends at Circa. It was just an awesome night, an awesome event, and we'll get into that later as well. Where do we put the Swatek posters and the definition of terms like preflop and Plinko and Truth Serum.
Order.
They're all here in the studio. They're all going to be up on the walls in the studio now?
We're going to decorate.
All right, we'll do that. Another World Series, another winner for those of us on a numbers game. We're pumped. Had the Dodgers every which way, as you know. Let's bring in Paul Spohr from Fangraphs, host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast. Paulie, much to talk about. How you doing, man?
Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Okay, well, you know where we start here. It's the question that everybody it's the thing that everybody's talking about. Kevin Cash's decision to remove Blake Snell from this ball game. Things were going swimmingly. 73 pitches in, had given up only two hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts, next to his name in the box score. And he had given up the little single there to Austin Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
The second hit of the game is still 1-0 Rays. And Kevin Cash says, you know what? I don't want you to go through the order a third time. I'm coming in. I'm getting you, and I'm putting in Nick Anderson. And you, in the moment, said what?
I hate this move. Hated it. For multiple reasons. One, I'm not taking out Snell there. I'm not. 73 pitches, dealing. You know, obviously not as strong as he'd been the first 4 innings. That was like overwhelming dominance. I'm not even saying leave Snell in for a full third time through. To me, it's not. I think the conversation has been turned into like either take him out or leave him in for the entire third time through. No, I'm talking at least bets. At least bets. That's the part that I don't get. There's no way I'm taking him out for the bets at bat. First off, look. I know statistics have said, you know, the data says about splits that they don't naturalize or that they don't stabilize and for a long time to the point where it's difficult to really use them. You can't tell me that you're looking at what Mookie did against lefties this year and not seeing that there was trouble. Not only that, he was being dominated by Snell in this playoff and in this game. How does Snell not get bets? Then you move on from that part. If you are going to make a change, how do you go to Nick Anderson? He is very clearly compromised from the badass he was all year. And even in the first round of the playoffs, the last couple rounds have clearly, clearly not been Nick Anderson. 6 straight appearances with giving up a run. I'm sorry. It's a bad move all around.
And of course, what happens? Betts smashes a double down the third baseline. Wild pitch scores Barnes. Rays infield moves in. Seager roller to first base, thrown home, just as he did in game one. Betts slides head first, beats the throw. Six pitches after Snell exited, the Rays trailed 2-1. Skill Alexander, it's Paul Sports, a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That's how quickly it turned. I will say this again. There's nothing like the truth serum of having a bet. And we know, like, on fourth down in football, you know if the other team's supposed to go for it based on if you have a bet on the defensive team and you're like, here's what I want them to do. I can't fake the funk on that. And so for everybody who had a Dodgers bet, for every Dodgers fan, that was the moment where we're like, you know, it's like the Rocky music starting to play where you're like, this is it. You know, this is where we know it all turns. I will say this, though, because I'm hearing a lot of people also saying if they leave Snell in, there's no chance the Rays lose that game. You can't say
whoa,
that.
Whoa, stop it. That's not accurate at all either. Then you really have to, even if you get through that at bat, you have to go back to a point that you've made regularly throughout and why you were so on the Dodgers was this offense continued to fail outside of Randy Arozarena. All over the place. They had a huge opportunity in the first inning. I knew that was going to come back to get them. I didn't know it was necessarily going to cost them the game, but I felt really bad as somebody who was going for the Rays when they didn't come through with more than one run. They constantly gave away opportunities offensively, and that cost them even more than the pitching. You can't score one run and cry too much. But yeah, you focus on that move. I don't like it, but also you're putting up one run in a deciding game. You can't expect to win 1-0.
Yeah. By the way, Jeff Passan wrote this. Fastball that ticked up to 98. Change up on the outside corner to right-handers at 90. Slider with bad intentions at 89. And a curveball that buckled knees at 80. He had won the Cy Young in 2018. Perhaps it never looked better than he did last night. But yeah, slow down on the superlatives. If he doesn't come out, they absolutely win. That's where I would draw the line. One more thing about this, and I understand this isn't handedness, but just to drive home the Snell point one further, and I believe this is Robert Washburn on Twitter who pointed this out. If I have the name wrong, I apologize. But he was pointing out, you know, career splits in terms of times through the order on Snell. There really isn't that big of a drop off, right?
Like, thank you.
First time through, his opponent's slash is 205, 280, 312, average on base slugging. Second time through, 234, 316, 396. Third time through is where mere mortals drop off. He's still 247, 329, 413. So on that, like, there's just no evidence.
I kept hearing TTO, 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 and I'm like, I get it. I understand third time through.
Yeah.
I kept hearing comparisons to this year. If you watched Snell last night and you thought that compared to anything that he did this year, then I know that you didn't watch any other Snell starts this year. Like, I just know off rip that if you're comparing it to anything he did this year, you watched none of his starts, because the Snell last night was the 2018 version. And even parts that we saw in 2019, it was not the guy we saw this year. The guy we saw this year labored, didn't get to go through the lineup, barely made it through the lineup twice with regularity and everything. So comparing him to this year's numbers, I think is a fool's errand. If you didn't look at him last night and feel like he could have at least started to get through that third time through, I don't know what you're watching.
Talking to Paul Spore from Fangraphs at Spore, S-P-O-R-E-R on Twitter. What's the Twitch again, Paul? For those, when is the next time you're on Twitch?
Twitch.tv/Spore. I was going to go on last night, but I was annoyed. I decided not to. It was too late.
Yes, you can make those kinds of executive decisions when you have your own Twitch. I feel like we have to talk about this because to ignore it would seem stranger. But we had the Circa opening here last night, and so I was kind of on a commute here from the MSG Plus show, home, change, watch baseball. I'm not going to watch the end of it. I'll have to go to the Circa opening, or not have to, but enjoyably go to the Circa opening, but I'm going to miss part of baseball. So when I left, I heard Joe Buck, and it was 2-1 Dodgers at the time, so it was just before, or was just after the Mookie homer, and I can't remember exactly, but it was... in the eighth inning, and Joe Buck is going, well, Justin Turner's out of the game. He's not in the third base. We'll check on an injury. And so I didn't think any of it. You know, we went to Circa, we enjoyed the night. And then it started filtering around. They're like, did you hear that Turner tested positive? And so everybody, and here's the Don Van Natta Jr. Tweet that Rob Manfred said Justin Turner was removed from the game in the seventh and, quote, immediately isolated to prevent the spread, unquote, of COVID. So how did this happen? And Jeff Passan sort of responds to that by saying, the answer is he went back out and nobody stopped him. He was asked to isolate and didn't. Just the most 2020 way to end the series. I guess my only question about this is because, look, we're all going to be divided on this kind of thing in this country. It's just a microcosm of everything. But the interesting thing is if the Dodgers lose this game, how awkward, first of all, awkward is the least of it. Like, how long would we have had to wait for a standalone game seven where everything everything would have been shifted around? That would have been nuts.
Would have been a nightmare. Like, I can't even fathom. I mean, election night and game seven, all in one, baby. Let's go.
Why don't we schedule it for election night just to make it even nuttier?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always thought Justin Turner, good dude and everything, and fun player. What a selfish clown. I mean, I don't really have many nice things to say. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing, guy? Like, the apes on Twitter that are like, well, he already was exposed to them, so I guess it doesn't matter. Okay, cool. Cool, dude. Like, he wasn't exposed necessarily to the family and friends. And perhaps the workers, whether it's at the stadium or on Fox, like, just because he was already exposed to his team and possibly maybe have given it to some of those guys, doesn't mean that we just free for all it. And the picture that you got up there with no mask on, what is going on? And Ken Rosenthal was quick to debunk the notion that that it was a false positive too. He was on the post game show, and people had been saying that, well, maybe it's false positive, that's why he was able to get back out there. No, he just was selfish and wanted to go back out there. So he did.
And you could speculate, was he flouting Rob Manfred? Was he just in the moment? But you're right. I mean, listen, look, the picture there. He's sitting next to Davey Roberts, who's had all kinds of serious health issues in the past. So you just worry about stuff like that. But, you know, that's what went down. Just a surreal night got even more surreal with that as it started filtering around. So I'm like, wow, game seven could have been forever from now. I mean, it's amazing what we dodged. It's not the most serious part of this, as we've just outlined. But wow, I mean,
it would have been insane. Kevin Burkhardt opened the post game with it. It set this whole tone. You know, he's doing a face on to the camera, like, we have breaking news. And I'm like, what's he going to say? And he's like, Justin Turner tested positive. And it was bizarre. And then to see Justin Turner floating around out there minutes later.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like, it was very peak 2020, like you said.
Yeah. Well, all the Dodgers bets that we had here cashed: series, double result, first game, and win the series. Corey Seager to win MVP, but Corey Seager gets the last laugh on me because he won the NLCS MVP, which I didn't have. NL World Series, the World Series, which I did have, but I had him so many ways for MVP during the season, and it's just, that was like so 30 close. to 1, also 30 to 1 by the way. It's not going to get there for him there, but it was just such a mistimed bet. Let me ask you then, as we go into next year, because you and I have never had this discussion on air, and Jason Kahn and I were just talking about how, and I mentioned this on air a couple weeks ago, fans not being there for basketball and hockey and pro football haven't bothered me at all. But for some reason, college football, yes, because of the pageantry of college football and kids and just the school spirit.
The fans drive it.
You feel that. But of all the pro sports, I would never have predicted that fans not being at baseball games ended up bothering me the most, or I noticed it the most. Last night was particular. There were different times in the postseason where these amazing moments, and you just really felt quite. Did you feel that way about baseball as well without fans?
You know, I really felt that the piped in sound kind of covered it for me. And I don't know if maybe I got lucky on that, because I kind of felt like that was going to take me out of the moment quite a bit. I don't know. I kind of felt like it bridged the gap for me, the piped in noise. You didn't get the roars that you would definitely get in the playoffs and that sort of electricity. But I don't know. I would say I actually came out where I was like, I can deal with it just because piped in noise and everything. And they did have some fans. It's not like it was cardboard cutouts during the World Series. And by the way, like, was that the right move there to have fans? I mean, are these going to turn out to have been super spreader events in Arlington? Who knows?
Who knows? In the end, you and I did talk about this once because we were both fans of the stadiums this year that where the sound guy was so on it that when an opposing pitcher threw to first base, they would do the boos also. I was like, that guy really takes his job seriously.
He really, really is into it. Yeah.
It's really, he's like, I think there would be boos here. Let me press the boo button. All right. So of the rule changes this year, then, as we move to next year, we don't know, is it going to be 162? Is it going to be 120? Is it going to be 60 again? We have no idea. But all right, let's start with them sort of in ascending order, and I'll just sort of do them in what I feel is ascending. Universal DH, we're okay with that moving forward, right?
Absolutely, and it's not on the books yet. I tend to agree with the notion that it's going to be used as part of a trade to get expanded playoffs. My colleague Ben Clemens was mentioning that when we were talking about it on a live stream last week, and I agree with that. So they'll have to get that by also giving back some expanded playoffs, which I'm not a fan of, but they're going to have to give what they have to give.
Yeah, but I just don't know. I haven't heard one person, and maybe it's just me anecdotally, but I haven't heard one person go, I really miss pitchers hitting, you know?
If you do, you're lying to yourself. Stop it. Stop really. It. You're lying.
Okay, how about the three-batter minimum rule for relievers unless you finish an inning? How did you feel about it initially? How do you feel about it now?
Initially, I thought it was kind of interesting to kind of legislate out some of the pitching changes. But then Tom Verducci had a big stat about how, like, they're legislating out something that's already been legislated out as far as, like, the loogie. That he highlighted how the 1 to 2 at-bat appearances had really gone down already. And so in typical baseball fashion, they were fixing something that wasn't really an issue anymore. So I was fine with it. It was kind of interesting, and you had to have your pitchers be a bit better. There were certainly scenarios where you're like, oh, he just got crushed lefty-lefty, and now he has to face two righties. You know, he couldn't get the guy out that he was supposed to, and now he's going to face two tough righties. And they created interesting scenarios like that. I can give or take it, though. If it stays, it's not a problem to me. I don't find it to be something that must stay and was all that special.
By the way, breaking news, a car caught fire in a celebration for the Dodgers in L.A., Jason. That, I wish I could have bet on that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
On fire was -1,000. Though.
It was easily -1,000. I initially was like, ooh, I don't like this. This changes the whole nature of the sport. And in the end, you know what? I didn't mind it at all. There was a couple moments in the postseason where I was like, oh, if that rule didn't exist, they would have changed right here.
Yes.
But it still made it interesting in its own way. And knowing that Tony La Russa has managerial job interviews coming up, I'm actually for it. Like, we don't need managers who are going to have 10 pitchers every game.
Exactly. And I wish there were fewer pitches. Pace of play is absolutely a problem. The time of game and pace of play are two vastly different things. The pace in baseball can be nauseatingly slow when you're talking about it being a 3-true outcome game and a bunch of pitching changes. This helps it only a little bit, though. You have to figure out something with the strikeouts if you're really going to change pace of play.
All right, and then extra innings. Every frame begins with a runner on second. How did you feel about it initially, and now the prospect of a subsequent year having that?
You know, I was pretty out on the ghost runner from the jump. It turned out it didn't bother me quite as much. As a night owl, I like the extra inning games that can go 15, 16, 17 innings. I root for those. At some point during the game, I start to root for whoever's losing. I'm just like, keep going, keep playing baseball. You know, it's 1 a.m. I just want to keep seeing baseball. I don't want the baseball day to end. I'm not mad that I lose those games. If they keep it for the regular season, it's fine. Like, I get it, because those games do have an impact down the line, and they can really ruin a team for a week or so. So if they keep it, it actually turned out not to be quite as bad as I thought. I hated it initially. I thought it was the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
it wasn't as bad as I thought. It ended up being whatever.
I'm the same way, man. I was a get off my lawn purist, I think, on that one specifically. That was the one that bothered me.
Me too.
And in the end, what I ended up talking about the most, and literally for the first week of the season, because then I realized no one cared, was how come no one's bunting, right? Like, I was screaming about that for a week. And then a buddy of mine who's best friends with a ball player in the major leagues, he said to me, he goes, they don't practice it. They don't prioritize it.
Yeah.
So they all suck at it. So no one's ever going to do it. Yeah,
it's hard, and we act like bunting's easy. It's not easy against the velocity, and if you don't practice it, Trey Turner, who's actually pretty decent at it, broke his finger. You know, Max Scherzer, who's a pitcher, should know how to do it a little bit, got a black eye from it. Bunting is very difficult.
Oh, I remember the black eye incident. That's right.
Yeah.
The black eye incident. We refer to it as the incident. Paul, listen. You have been such a stalwart, not only on this show, but on MSG Plus with Primetime Action. You have come in dutifully every day. I ask you every day. You're like, yeah, I don't think even once you ever said no. And I so enjoy talking baseball with you all throughout this. So just a thank you from me to you. We'll talk during the off season as events warrant.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on, Gil. I appreciate it.
My man, Paul Sporer, at Sporer, Sporer. Follow him, of course. At FanGraphs, where he writes, and of course the Sleeper and the Bust podcast, deep dive into baseball. Dodgers World Series champion. Congratulations to everyone who followed and everyone who bet and cashed. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
And then we'll put the Tankapalooza poster over there and the obligation of the Nationals.
It'll be a whole
poster.
Collage.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're back. With exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN is reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please, as always, gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Appreciate all the feedback all the time. What are you smiling about, Jason? What's going on back there?
We've got a graphic.
Oh, look at that. Only the best. Only the best. Look at that. We get tweets. We do get tweets. And I appreciate all the feedback from everybody tweeting about everything going on yesterday and today. Now I lost my place. Fire Howie, amazing show with election breakdown yesterday. Thank you for that. We got so many tweets about the election hour yesterday, and we had a blast with it. And again, thanks to Mac Verstandig and Pamela Maldonado, who it was all them. They had such great insights on the show. This is from PM Turcotte, and this sort of is indicative of a lot of the tweets. You can't emphasize enough how hard it is to put on a show like that without pissing off half the people that listen to you. Really well done, Gil. I think there is still more good value floating around out there. Thank you, Phil. That was what we were hoping for. Now, is there going to be 10% out there that still doesn't see it that way? Sure. You're never going to please 100% of the people, but I appreciate that tweet. Thank you so much. That's what we're going for. Most people seem to really enjoy that. We put it in podcast form. If you missed it, it's on the Beating the Book podcast feed, the iHeartRadio network. We put it out there yesterday because we didn't have a guessing lines this week. So that served as a quite a fine replacement, I think. More tweets here as well. Jim Costas, primetime action on MSG Plus is a must watch if you bet more than even 1 cent. Hosts are incredibly knowledgeable, transparent, and thoroughly enjoyable listens. An impossibility in this field. Thank you, Jim. All thanks to Matt Brown, to Kelly Bidlin, who produces the show, and Danielle Alvari, who is fabulous. We have a blast on Primetime Action. We do it every Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, the last 2 hours of which are right here on Sirius XM Channel 204. And it's literally like, you know, Deion Sanders used to say when he played baseball and football that baseball was his brain and football was his brain on crack. And that's how I kind of feel about doing this show is my brain, doing that show is my brain on crack. Because it's such a blast with Matt and Kelly and Danielle. And we just get out there, we just react. And we're placing in-game wagers when it is appropriate, when it's not. You can choose to follow, you can choose to fade. But I hope you understand that we're transparent in everything that we do. So thank you to Jim for that. Man Bear Puig, imagine if the Dodgers lose last night and have 6 or 7 positives. What a disaster that would have been. Yeah, that's what we were saying. I mean, it just could. I could not imagine. Could you imagine if we're sitting here like, well, we don't know when Game 7 is going to be played.
Worst case scenario.
That would have been awful. We were really close to having that happen. But thank you to Kevin Cash for making sure that that got driven home. By the way, I stick by what I said at the beginning. Dodgers should have won that series in 5. Dodgers were by far the better team, in my opinion. And I use the word complicit. The Dodgers had to be complicit for the Rays to win any of those games. Let's see. A whole bunch more at Beating the Book. Let me read a few more of these. Everybody reacting to the election pod yesterday. There's too many of those. Here's one from Jeff Staples. This is not about the election. This is about, he's making it funny. Justin Turner tested positive for COVID-19 and probably spread it to Kevin Cash, who lost his sense of smell. Get it? Appreciate that one. And then there's a lot that are just killing the Rays. Phil Weiss, that move by Cash last night brings me back to Super Bowl 54, was it? Well, no, 49, pardon me, Super Bowl 49, and the ridiculous Pete Carroll play. It was a little Roman numerals problem I had there for a moment. Jack Scooter, Rays are a terrible team led by a terrible manager. If the season goes 162 games, they probably don't even make the playoffs. I think Jack had a bet on the Rays. He's a little sore about it. And on at Beating the Book. We appreciate it. Tom Hudgens enjoyed the pipe and booing of the commissioner at the postgame ceremony. He even paused his speech. Spot on. I don't even know if
there
that
was an awkward delay.
Was there?
I wasn't sure exactly what that was all about, but you could tell that he wasn't pleased.
Oh man. Martin Bands, Sporer, right on with his comments on Turner coming back out sans mask. That being said, let's get the story on the otter painting over his left shoulder. Next time Sporer's on, we got to ask him about the otter painting over his left shoulder. So appreciated, man. Oh, diehard MMA underscore podcast. Hey, Gil, big fan. Is there no guessing lines this week? Yeah, in case you missed it, Chris Andrews, our beloved Chris Andrews, tested positive for the coronavirus. So he couldn't be here this past Monday. We hope to have guessing lines with Chrissy back this coming Monday. We'll come back. Pete Futak on college football. Whole bunch more coming up right here on A Numbers Game in Lombardi, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It's a big week here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we have some great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com all week long. Watch Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern. A Numbers Game right here with me, Gil Alexander, at 10 a.m. The Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi, my guys in the desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs. It's all free 24/7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets email and our point spread weekly betting guide. It's the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Just head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. Who doesn't like free, Jason? Who? I
can't think of anybody.
Looking around? Nobody. We talked a little bit about survivor possibilities this week in the NFL. And again, the obvious one is Kansas City hosting the Jets, and if you have Kansas City available, some don't, but if you have Kansas City available, the question becomes, do you use them here, or are you saving them for later? Other possibilities, Philadelphia we talked about yesterday, I don't trust them. Even against Dallas. Green Bay hosting Minnesota, I don't know if I trust them.
Dallas has got that rookie quarterback. I think Ben DiNucci is worthy of consideration.
Vinny Maliulo is playing quarterback for the Cowboys this week. Oh, Ben DiNucci. I'm sorry. Green Bay hosting Minnesota. I don't know if I trust that. And then Tampa Bay at the Giants. If you have Tampa Bay, that's probably, if you have them available, they're also a great survivor pick, I would think. But what about teaser legs? Teaser legs this week on the Megapod, on the Beating the Book Megapod, which you and Triv so ably produced, Jason, over at the D. By the way, are we at the D this week or are we going to Circa? We don't know yet.
TBD.
TBD. We're all 6-1 on teasers, I think. It's been a great Stanford Wong teaser leg year. And again, the Stanford Wong, not his real name, pseudonym, kind of like a Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens kind of thing. But Stanford Wong, who wrote a great blackjack book he's most famous for, but also sharp sports betting back in the day, the most historically great teaser legs, which we now refer to as the Wong teaser legs. Again, short dogs, either home or road, that you tease up through the 3 and the 7, or home favorites of just over 7, which you tease down through the 7 and 3. This week, there are only 3 perfect Wong teaser legs. Those would be Atlanta, 2.5-point dogs on Thursday night at Carolina. So you would tease Atlanta through the 3 and the 7, theoretically. And then the only other two are, not that one, not anymore. I was looking at one. The Raiders for sure, right? Yeah, the Raiders, 2.5-point dogs against Cleveland. You would tease the Raiders through the 3 and the 7. That might be appealing to a lot of people. And then I thought there was a third, but as I'm scanning right now, I'm not seeing it.
Are there any 9.5s with the Bucks?
No, not really. 10.5s. I think at one point New Orleans. I think at one point Chicago might have been, but they're not anymore. All right, so those two. If I'm not seeing one, then forgive me because there might be a third out there, but I'm not seeing it right now.
Maybe the Eagles.
Maybe the Eagles. That's right. The Eagles, which is not a universal line at this point, but what I do see, I see 7.5. So the Eagles would be a third. Yes. So those are the 3 perfect long teaser legs. Do you feel good using 2 of those 3?
I like Philadelphia.
You do like Philadelphia.
I think that Dallas is just in a tailspin.
Let me give you a couple options that are not perfect Wong teaser legs, right? Because those have worked great this year. By the way, they didn't work great last year. Last year was sort of this aberrational year where the perfect teaser legs, the most historically successful teaser legs, did not really come through. This year, whew, man, books getting crushed on this stuff. Hope you've been teasing your butts off. But let me just give you a couple options here. See what you think here, Jason. How about the Tennessee Titans? Again, not a perfect long leg, but down from 6 to basically just having to beat the Bengals. From 6 to a pick 'em. Talking about standard 6-point moves.
As a teaser leg, yes. But, the Bengals have got some injuries. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty solid teaser leg. Tennessee bounces back.
Yeah. Again, road favorites like this are not historically a positive EB, a plus EV kind of thing. But I do like how the Titans match up against the Bengals. I was invited by Brad Porras onto his pre-snap picks podcast yesterday. We did it with Toronto Blue Jay Randall Grichuk, friend of show. And one of the things that we were talking about was our favorite teaser legs. And I was all about Tennessee. And the other one would be, you ready? Pittsburgh from the 3.5. Again, not your perfect long leg, but from 3.5 up to 9.5. And if you see a 4 out there, which I do only see one.
It opened at 5.5. So.
Well, okay, so let's go back to guessing lines on Monday,
yeah,
which we didn't have Chrissy, so we really didn't do a guessing lines, but you and I did a sort of bastardized version of guessing lines. The two games that I was like, that's, you know, first of all, there was the Denver Chargers game where I was like, oh, that's a little weird. I probably will take Denver because Anthony Lynn will figure out a way not to cover this. But the one that I was incredulous about was Pittsburgh at 5.5. And by the way, before we got to a numbers game the next day, it was already at 3.5. What was that line? What sense did that make?
I fell back on home field advantage. Maybe they're just overrating home field advantage. It's the only thing that I can think of.
Baltimore, who, by the way, put Dez Bryant on the practice squad yesterday, for those who want to pick up Dez Bryant in fantasy and think that might be a thing. And Baltimore could use help on offense. So maybe it is a thing. Dez Bryant, who last played in the NFL, when? I don't know.
I do not know.
Yeah.
2 years ago?
I believe the year was 1847. Yeah,
maybe he wasn't very impactful when he played. Dallas cut him for a reason, you know?
You never know. You never know. But he got signed to the Baltimore practice squad. But Baltimore could use the help on offense. But Pittsburgh now at 3.5. So, again, not a perfect long teaser leg. But if you took Pittsburgh from 3.5 to 9.5, do you feel comfortable playing the Steelers, getting 9.5 points?
I think the Steelers probably win this game. So I would take Steelers tease. I would take Steelers money line. I think that Steelers money is accurate.
The other thing that was interesting on just some suggestions beyond, because there's only three perfect long teaser legs this week. So just some, you know, Titans and Steelers, some things, some other possibilities to think about, even though they're not the standard go-to ones to get to. The other thing that we sort of on the pre-snap picks podcast with Brad and Russ, his partner yesterday on the show, and Randy Gritchick, that we all talked about was the New England Patriots. Pretty much consensus, although Randy was oppo on us on this, but the rest of us think this is a good spot for the Patriots because you can't buy them any lower. And when I brought it up on Primetime Action last night, Matt Brown gave me some pushback. He was like, what do you like about the Patriots at all? And I said, the only thing that really strikes me in this is Bill Belichick. What do we always say about him? He can take away the opponent's strength better than anybody on offense. The Bills have one strength, Josh Allen tucking the ball under and running. So I think this sets up actually pretty nicely for the Patriots. Three out of the four of us thought the same. Patriots plus 3.5 against the Bills. Maybe you like them in a money line. Their season pretty much on the line for this. Circa opening last night. We'll hear from VSiN CEO Brian Musburger. His thoughts from the venue last night. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
A month with more high stakes buzzer beaters and walk off dingers than ever before demands a bigger bankroll. And with this exclusive offer from BetMGM Sports for VSiN listeners, new customers can get their first deposit matched instantly with up to $250 in free bets with bonus code VSiN250. Discover why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks with parlay bonus payouts, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN250 to get your first deposit match with up to $250 in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only, please. As always, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Mentioning all those states makes me think about something I said on Primetime Action the other night. And I don't know why this occurred to me, but I think it's because of the promos with all the states. You ever been to Four Corners? It's the one place in this country where four states intersect. Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado. So I'm thinking about with betting jurisdictions. Like, somebody out there is going to, like, buy a home
proxy
near Four
service.
Corners.
Yeah, it's a right? great idea.
And they're going to hang out at Four Corners all day and just kind of, yeah, you can put four limbs in four different states. They're going to be betting in four different jurisdictions. They'll be like, well, let me make a bet here in Utah. I'm going to make a bet when everybody has legalized.
It's fantastic. I love everything about it. Yeah. I'm ready to move right now.
Thank you. It's my Four Corners betting strategy. For those in the future when everything is legalized in all four of those jurisdictions, if and when, of course. Just thinking out loud. All right, so last night, the Circa opening. It is hard to stress enough how amazing this is. Downtown Las Vegas, which is not, you know, like I know your buddies, all people who come to Vegas, we all have our group of buddies, whether you're from Boston, New York, Philly, D.C., all around the country, Cali, wherever you're coming in from, most people go to the Strip. It's what they're all about. All about the Strip. It's understandable. But downtown has always been there, and that's where Vegas was born. And Derek Stevens, in his speech last night at Circa, kept using the phrase, we're all in this together. And Derek and Mike Palm, who is a friend of the entire network and is on the network all the time, and we love Mikey. He's on the Megapod, for goodness sake, as well. By the way, Mike was trying to be on the show this morning. He was like, yo, I can't make it. I'll see you on the Megapod tomorrow. So that's fine. I get it. Everybody's tired. But Derek kept saying last night, we're all in this together. And he is bridging the gap. The whole sort of theme of Circa is bridging the gap between the old Vegas and the new Vegas. The Vegas of yesterday and the Vegas of tomorrow, as he put it. And Derek, and I said this to Dave Farrah last night on air from the Circa Studios, Derek has been pitch perfect the entire time. From the moment he came to Vegas, imagine like all these old guard Vegas folks. Hey, we know how they are. All they, you know, a newcomer comes in and it's like, well, what's this guy all about? And Derek has played it perfectly the whole way through. He's genuine. It's not playing it. He's pitch perfect. He has such a great touch on everything and finesse. And we all had a great time last night. It was super honored to be a part of that and invited to it. And our own CEO, Brian Musburger, stopped by Circa last night. Not stopped by, but hung out all night long. And he had these things to say from his heart about Circa's grand opening.
And the man behind it all, Brian Musburger, right now joining us on set. Brian, I mean, when you talk about having a vision for something and being an entrepreneur and trying to put a plan together for creating something special, very rarely does it work for most people, just to begin with. But very rarely does it get to the point where you somehow have managed to create all of these partnerships with all of the right people in Las Vegas, and now there's a brand new second VEASAN studio in Las Vegas that's right on the edge of the coolest sports book that I've ever seen. What is tonight like for you?
It's a wonderful celebration of what we've accomplished with VSIN. You know, Derek was one of our earliest supporters and really recognized early on what we were trying to do. And he's the ultimate sports fan. He got it right away. And just so honored to be a part of this. And this is, you know, Las Vegas history in the making. And it's really, it's thrilling for all of us connected to VSIN to be here with Derek on a really special night.
Yeah, we were talking with Derek earlier and just, you know, the amount of money that obviously he has put into it in a very challenging year for a lot of people, the amount of people like, in Las Vegas that he's able to employ, but really breathing a new life into Fremont Street. I mean, this is the first time, for those that were with us earlier, you heard me mention it, but the first time in 40 years that there's been a new resort like this built in downtown Las Vegas. And you see the admiration from a lot of the other people that are in the gaming business, the casino business. Plaza across the street had a sign up welcoming Circa to the neighborhood. Your partners from the South Point took out a full-page ad saying congratulations to Derek on the opening of Circa. It really feels like there is this camaraderie in the city of Las Vegas, especially right now in a very challenging year. And to see Derek investing so much time and money and all of the work that you guys at VSIN have put into, you know, making this a reality for a lot of sports betting fans around the country and around the world, it's just an exciting time to be doing what we do.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things that Derek has really tapped into and what this one of the things that this resort is about, it's experiential. It's something that you have to see to believe. And if you're a sports fan, you're going to want to make the pilgrimage here. And it's like Wrigley Field or Fenway. To take in a football Sunday from the world's largest sports book is something that every sports bettor and every sports fan is going to enjoy. Even if you're not in the sports book, what he did with the pools, it's an attraction. It's what Vegas is all about and what the town needs to get through a period like this. I think that there's a lot of people that are looking forward to coming back out to experience the building that we're in.
Yeah, you mentioned the word pilgrimage, and I think that's kind of the perfect word. Like, can you imagine, like, planning a bachelor party with your dudes, and you're like, hey, let's go to the world's biggest sports book, and I think you can just end it right there.
Right.
Everyone's like, yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it. Yeah. Well, and Brian, you think back, you know, to the initial vision of VSIN, right? And, you know, to go into the South Point, at what point did this possibility, I mean, this studio and this background of the sports book, when did this start to become a reality that we might be able to have a VSIN studio in the world's largest sports book?
So I have to credit Jimmy Vaccaro, Vinny Maiulo, and Michael Gaughan. You know, I went in and pitched them on the, now when I think back, what a ridiculously crazy idea. And they got it. Like, they understood it. Michael Gaughan, the owner of the South Point, after sitting down one time, he said, kid, that's a great idea. I'm building you a studio. Where would you want it? And I said, you know, be great to have the feel of being on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, right. If you could do it right next to your sports book. And he laughed at me. He said, do you know how valuable the real estate is right next to the sports book? Yeah. He said, that's the most valuable real estate in a casino. You're out of your mind. And he laughed, and I thought, okay, it was worth a shot. And maybe he'd tuck us away somewhere on that, on a massive property, he'd find a little corner for us to set up a little coffee table or something where we could broadcast from. And he called me up, said, I think you should come on out here. We got some plans we want to talk to you about. So I jumped on a plane from Chicago, and he walked me around the floor, and he said, what do you think of this spot? We think we could build a glass booth right here, just like he asked. And I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
He did it, and I think we're maybe in our second or third week of shows, and I got a call from Derek Stevens, didn't know who he was. Someone explained to me he owns a bunch of casinos downtown. I want to go hang out with him. I thought, great. And he came over in his first appearance. I remember coming in with this custom suit that had the VSIN logo. It had the
very
D.
Subtle, you know, very subtle.
And it was just such a cool thing for him to do. And he wanted to be a part of our shows. He really is a sports fan. He's a sports bettor.
You should see the laminated sheet of his Survivor pool, his mythology behind it. Now he's already out, but you know he did have a plan.
Yeah,
though.
It was a good
plan. He had a plan. It was an A for effort, you know, for him. But no, he is. You know, we get the honor of talking to him on the shows, and it's just, you know, it's not talking to Derek Stevens, the owner. We're talking to Derek Stevens, the sports fan,
and that's right. Exactly who constructed this thing behind us. And I mean, Brian, you talk about catching a wave at the right time, like a surfer, right? I mean, a couple of years ago, if you were on your cell phone in a sports book, they'd come slap it out of your hand and tell you to leave. Now this guy's like, oh yeah, let's just build a television studio right on the edge of one, and somehow it works out. And then here we go with studio number two with this behind us. I mean, it really is something spectacular. So big night, I know, for VSiN as well. Obviously, again, leading right into to Follow the Money here in just a few hours' time. What an exciting time for everyone at VSiN. So congratulations on all.
Thank you very much, and thank you guys for doing this.
Oh man,
and you guys have done such an amazing job, and I can't thank you both enough for what you guys have done to build VSiN into what it is.
Let's keep it going, man.
Thank you, guys.
For real. And speaking of Chicago and where you and the whole family are from, there's actually a show that's on VSiN every single day with our boy Danny Burke.
The Irish Bulldog.
Yeah, yes. Love some Danny B. So he's back in Chicago now. You guys just picked up additional distribution there on the Marquee Network, but Rush Hour is something that Danny's hosting back in Chicago. So the tentacles continue to spread across the nation.
They do. You know, as sports betting spreads, we talk about Las Vegas is going to continue to be the hub, right? This is the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and it's important for us to have studios at the Chicago Board of Trade and these other places where there is activity.
Yeah.
But there's nothing like where we are right now. You know, all of the information flows through here, and that's the beauty of what we're able to do at VSiN.
Well, Brian, enjoy the rest of your night.
Brian Musburger, our chairman here at VSiN. I downgraded him earlier to CEO, apparently, but chairman, I'm sorry, pardon me, and founder of VSiN, talking about extolling the virtues, of course, of Circa, and appropriately so last night. Shout out to Dave Farah and Tim Murray, who did the whole broadcast up until 1 in the morning, along with Danielle Alvari yesterday. Dave Farah, who hosts a morning show here in Las Vegas, David Mahoney, very popular morning show on the radio. Dave, Matt Brown, and I, my co-host on Primetime Action, we used to do shows with Jay Rude back in the day at MGM. Jay Rude, the former vice president of racing sports at MGM. We used to fly around the country, all of us, and we used to have a ball. So Dave is just a pro's pro. Great to see him there. And Tim Murray, it should be noted, our own Tim Murray, who is performing acrobatics at that desk with his 6'5" frame, maybe 6'6", I don't know. Having those legs under that desk is a feat of humanity. So he deserves a shout out as well. We'll come back. College football. Pete Futak. Oh, my goodness. Wisconsin. Oh, my goodness. Big Ten. Let's talk about all of it. Next, Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.